The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe. And that is the time we discuss global, continental, and domestic affairs. And indeed, it's quite important to thank Maria Sangala for giving us, giving us the mic. And we are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And this is your morning economic conversational program. And yeah, it's the 23rd of October, 2025. And we are moving. We are progressing at an understandable pace. It's a very beautiful morning. It's a very beautiful Thursday morning. And what is very interesting about life is that, do you understand that every morning is a very beautiful morning? It depends on how you look at it. It also depends on how you are wiring your thoughts toward it. Because, you know, I was actually reading something yesterday, especially regarding brain rewiring, to say, you know, a human brain within a day, around 90% of the thoughts that we are thinking are negative. But, you know, it's up to us to counter those negative thoughts and also those, with positive thoughts, actually, because whatever you do, there is always a resistant force within you, but it's part of human nature. Because, it's indicated that the brain is made or is, is made to protect you. That's why when you have a plan of doing something, there's always that thing of saying, no, what if you fail? What if you don't, get that opportunity? What if that, deal does not work out? And also, what if the car that you are buying is not going to be accepted by the community? And what if you are going to fail and you are going to be embarrassed in public? But, you know, it's an aspect of mind. It's an aspect of mind. That's why there is what is called law of attraction. You attract what you think most. But you attract what you are aligning yourself with. But, you know, when we are saying it's a very beautiful morning, even if you are going through challenges, make it beautiful. And think about the good days, or think about the good outcome, the good plan, and stand up and do what you can do best. You know, we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. Some of you are knocking off. Some of you are working extra hours. Some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are busy with planning about how you are going through the day. But yeah, the fact that you listen to Eagle FM Namibia, the fact that you are tuning into your number one favorite radio station, it's a very beautiful thing, and it also shows that you are one step ahead of others. And yeah, looking at what is happening around the world, because we are always very happy to start with global news, start with global affairs, to see what is really happening around the world, and what is that happening around the world affecting us, and also what can we learn from what's happening around the world. Because remember, when we are looking at what's happening around the world, when others on the other side are looking at what's happening around the world, they are also looking at us, because we are part of the world, and that is how interesting things are. But for now, let us look at IMBA, and we'll start.
Great news. IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are moving with Early Morning Scoop. However, let us look at, before we go to global news, live read on University of Namibia Alumni Association elective AGM, that is on that is IGM 2025. Did you know University of Namibia Alumni Association is hosting elective annual general meeting on Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025 at 17:30? The meeting will be held virtually, allowing UNAM alumni to join from all corners of the world, and all UNAM alumni are invited to be part of this important occasion as we reflect on achievements, discussions, key motions, and elect new executive committee. The annual general meeting link will be shared closer to the date, and all reports will be available on the UNAM website. Don't miss this opportunity to connect and shape the alumni legacy. So University of Namibia graduates, there is UNAM Alumni Association, and there is always an annual, you know, general meetings where the executive of your alumni association is being elected, and that's why you are invited. And the interesting thing is visual, and make sure that you are part of that, and also an opportunity to network, because networking is one of the very important skills that we must have, we should encourage, because social capital is one of the capital that you know will take us far and expand your financial capital too. So let's start with Interpol and Afripol. Stated that international police and African police operation, or a joint operation between Interpol and Afripol operation, has led to 83 arrests across 6 African countries and exposed hundreds of people suspected of financing and supporting terrorism. 3 months operation named Operation Catalyst was conducted between July and September 2025. Its first coordinated effort on continent aimed at disrupting the money network that fund terrorist activities. You know, authorities from Angola, Cameroon, Kenya, Namibia, Nigeria, and South Africa participate, a sum of about $260 million in cash and in cryptocurrency believed to be linked to terrorism-related crime was uncovered. Now, money trails tied to cybercrime and fraud. Interpol said Operation Catalyst revealed how terrorism financing is increasing, linked to other crimes such as online scam, Ponzi schemes, and money laundering. Yeah, that is what is happening. And it's scary. Scary that, you know, Namibia is also part of this report, especially when you look at the joint operation between Interpol and Afripol. At 83 people arrested in Africa, and it's in connection with funding and supporting terrorism, terrorist activities, and terrorist activities involved, you know, crimes against the state, overthrowing of governments, and also supporting of extremism, and also, you know, disruption of state's operation. And 83 people were arrested, and $260 million was uncovered. It's quite scary. And stated that countries or authorities from you know, Namibia, Cameroon, Kenya, Nigeria, South Sudan have participated in this operation, especially in fighting of, you know, terrorism support, because there's also a report, a recent report, that somebody was caught with assault rifles. If you read reports, especially crime reports, there's that one of the cities, and also from Angola, they was caught with, you know, assault rifles. Speaking about AK-47, it's not a pistol. It's a assault rifle. It's not one, it's not two, it's not three, it's not four, and it's also not five. And it's quite a very scary thing to say, whose agenda are you pushing? Who is funding you? Is it the religious activity? And it's also not new, because if you follow Namibia, you know, court system, can also be able to say that a certain individual was also prosecuted over, you know, getting funds to support terrorism, because the world is It's not sleeping. It's not sleeping. There are people with different intentions who, end up, not really on the good interest of the state. That's why it's always very important to be very careful. To be very careful, especially when somebody offering you money without exactly knowing what that money is for. Somebody say, come to this country, I'm giving you this opportunity. So it's very important, because otherwise you find yourself being prosecuted over terrorism. Sometimes you know, sometimes you may not know, sometimes you are brainwashed. Because when somebody is saying, for example, you may think you are a revolutionary, or you may think somebody is, they come with different names. Say, no, you are fighting for freedom or something. But little did you know that you are getting involved in terrorist activities. And remember, in terms of hierarchy of crimes, if you are suspected of terrorism, those are some of the crimes that, are high-profile crimes. So closer to high treason, it's terrorism. And it's very difficult for you to see the light of the day, especially once you are locked up with that crime, because terrorism, especially in Africa, it's quite scary, and it's a deadly activity. But looking at this joint operation between Interpol and also Afripol, and you must be able to must be able also to see that, there's a lot of things happening. And one of the things which was also stated here, so that money which were uncovered, is not only cash, but also money in cryptocurrency. And also, speaking about cryptocurrency, speak about digital finance, digital money. And you must be also able to understand that some of these terrorist activities are also linked to Ponzi schemes and, money laundering. And in this case, I think this conversation will also be linked to our main conversation for the day, especially when you are going to speak about the stability of Namibia financial system and also some of the risks which are involved. And stated that major arrests in Angola, Kenya, and in Nigeria. And looking at the words from Interpol Secretary General, that is Valdesi Ukwiza, called the operation a milestone in African fight against terrorism financing. And he stated that, this is the first time in financial crime, cyber crime, and counter-terrorism units from several African countries have joined forces with Interpol and Afripol. He said, by sharing intelligence, we can disrupt the financial flow that keep terrorist network alive. Because a terrorist is not somebody who is not good looking. It's not somebody who is, wearing camouflage clothes. These are the people who are wearing suits. These are the people who have offices. These are the people who, drive fancy cars and difficult to identify from other ordinary people. And the intentions are not good for the state, and that is what is happening. And the question also that we need to ask ourselves is that why always in Africa, and also what are the motives of terrorism activities? What are the motives of terrorism activities, and what impact does terrorism have on African development? And also on countries' development. And you can also look at the impact that terrorism has. You can look at the case studies of countries such as Sudan, countries such as DRC, countries such as, Libya, and many other countries. And, you can be able also to get to say at what level countries and how prepared are we as a country, especially in strengthening of our system, and indeed also to protect Namibian people from such kind of activities. Because Namibians, we like things. Somebody say invest 500 in this scheme, then you get 20,000 in 2 weeks. How on earth somebody exposed that secret to you just for free like that? You may end up funding terrorism without knowing. You may think you are doing something, you know, behind closed doors. You may think you want to get rich fast, but in this economy, there is nothing which comes for free, and something which look easy may actually quite be, you know, it'd be very dangerous. Actually, quite be very dangerous. Now, looking at international news, looking at DRC, it was stated that around 23 M23 rebels fighters surrender to Congolese army in eastern DRC. Started at Congolese Army, Eastern DRC. Incoming reports which are indicating that, there are new development in Eastern DRC, where you are also being able to see, Congolese Army, receiving some of the former M23, fighters who are surrendering to Congolese Army. You are asking yourself to say, what are some of the motives? What are some of the motives of this? But let us look at this news and also move forward.
Almost 40 members of the M23 rebel group have surrendered in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, military officials said on Monday. The fighters who turned over their arms were reportedly civilian soldiers and police officers who'd been kidnapped and forcibly conscripted when the cities of Goma and Bukavu were captured by M23 earlier this year. The fighters surrendered in North Kivu province, Kalehe, and South Kivu, and included two officers. An army commander called on other rebels to follow suit. Last week, the DRC and M23 agreed to set up an oversight body for a potential permanent ceasefire in the decades-long conflict. That builds on a declaration of principles signed in July that would restore state authorities in eastern Congo. The Rwanda-backed M23 is the most prominent of more than 100 armed groups fighting for control of the DRC's mineral-rich east. The conflict has displaced more than 7 million people, leading to what the UN has called one of the most serious humanitarian crises on Earth.
You are hearing yourself, one of the most humanitarian crises on Earth. It's in DRC. Millions of people are suffering of hunger and also other diseases, Ebola, HIV, and many other diseases. Poor medical care, poor attention, especially when it's coming to, medical facilities. And you are asking yourself, how come the richest country on Earth, with more than 100 million people, at this chaotic juncture, which is not actually the first time? And when is DRC going to see peace? When is DRC going to see peace? Now, before we come home, we look at Cameroon. So, you know, that side of Cameroon, one person died. It's Cameroon awaits for election results. So that there is an ongoing. Oh, they say there was elections actually in Cameroon, and people are busy counting the votes. And it was stated that the 92-year-old Paul Biya is leading in those elections, and it's indicated that some of the opposition politicians and also citizens, they are not happy, because as we are standing now, Paul Biya is past the threshold of 53, or he's leading with 53% of the total votes, and ahead of Chiroma, who is having 35% of the votes. But official election results, they still have to be announced. But in terms of the provisional results, stated that Paul Biya, the 92-year-old ruler, who has been in power for 42 years, and is looking for the eighth term in power. He's, leading. And, it was stated that, there are tensions, there are ongoing tensions. That's why, stated that one person, died. This, why Cameroon's, waiting for results. But let us, look at, this, this news and, come back home to see what is happening at home. What is happening at home? And, we can also come to the conversation for today, especially when you're going to speak about, Namibia financial stability. What is BON telling us? And also, can we also compare? And we also going to look at where are the red signs? Where are the red flags? And what do we do about the red flags? And also compared to what has been happening. And it's also very important to connect with global development. You do not need to be an economist to understand global development in terms of global economy. You don't need to be an economist to understand the African economic outlook, domestic economic outlook. Where is Namibia standing? Where are what is the level of production Namibia is standing on? In terms of what we want, particularly in terms of food security, where are we? How much are we exporting? How much are we importing? What is the strength of our currency? What is the danger of our system? And moving also forward, what can we do new? Because there's always a question to say, is it okay? Is it okay to have the same problem over and over without doing anything about it? What is the reason of talking about something that we are not changing? Or what are we doing to change it? And what is the contribution of every, financial institution and every person to the strengthening of Namibia financial system? And, what is the danger of having a weak, financial, system, to investors? To external domestic investors and also to national development at large. Let us look at Cameroon and move forward.
Tension remain high in Cameroon as the country awaits the official announcement of election results by the Constitutional Council. Issa Chiroma, the candidate of the Cameroon National Salvation Front, has once again addressed his supporters and the national authorities while also calling the incumbent Paul Biya to accept election defeat. To the outgoing President Paul Biya, you have led this country for 43 years. History is watching you. You still have one chance and only one. That is, to leave office with dignity, as a statesman, to respect the will of the people. Do not end your reign with such blatant fraud. Chiroma also called on Cameroon's neighboring countries and other international partners not to remain silent. He insisted that their voices could play a crucial role in safeguarding peace in Cameroon. To our neighboring countries, particularly Nigeria and Chad, to the African Union, to the European Union, United Nations, France, to the United States, to all international partner countries, do not remain silent. Your silence condones dictatorship. Your voice can protect peace.
Votre voix peut protéger la paix.
Meanwhile, the National Vote Counting Commission is hard at work verifying and compiling election results. Chiroma has also called upon the council to declare true election results. You hold the future of a nation in your hands. You have sworn to protect the Constitution and defend the law. Today, you are facing history. You can either validate the truth of the ballot box and give Cameroon the peaceful change it demands, or condone fraud and plunge our country into an uncertain future.
That was the voice of an opposition leader, that is Chiroma. and is making some political communication, especially toward Paul Biya. But what we also need to ask ourselves is that Africans, sometimes we like complaining about external influences, but we are the product of our own making, because some of the problems are within our, we contributed to those. Because remember, the constitution, for example, let us look at Namibian constitution. You can, everybody has the right, as long as you meet the requirements, to run for the highest office on land if you are 35 years and above. Now, that is what it means. But if you are 35 years and above, there is no limit. You can be 150, and there is no limit in that aspect. But when you are asking to say, a lot of people, they like complaining. They say, no, Paul Biya, me also included, I'm questioning. They say, no, Paul Biya is 92 years, and they've been in power for 42 years, and he still wants the eighth term. And in terms of good calculations, he's going to lead until 99 or 100. And what is that? But if you're asking, is that lawful within operational, within the law? Is a law-abiding citizen who is operating within the laws of his country and within the constitution of Cameroon and within the extended that constitution? That is the law. Then you're asking yourself to say, the question is now, what is... the contribution of Africans to the legal system that they are using, and is it working? Is it working, you know, in favor of the African people? And who is benefiting from Paul Biya being in power for, you know, 42 years? And I remember when you are looking at international news, and you are also understanding some of the statement made, even Paul Biya's daughter herself was praying for his father to step down, praying for his, you know, her father to step down. But, you know, things did not go. But, you know, the man is running, is within his own rights. And that is what the constitution is saying. And there is nothing that you can do about somebody running within a framework of the constitution to say, if the constitution allow me, for example, to run for presidency at the age of 35, then does not give me a limit, that should not be the case. And, you know, it's a very funny thing, but what can we do as Africans to make sure that the system of governance that we are putting in place is working, not, it's working for us, not against us? There is a lot of laws that, we know they are not working on our favor. But because of our, you know, unwillingness to change those laws, or unwillingness to amend those laws, then we continue to suffering. It can apply to economic, you know, laws. It can also apply to governance laws, complication and duplication of duties. Local and regional authority elections, and even in the next administration of even in the next cohort of new councillors going to be elected, regional councillors, they're still not going to have their own budget, and we expect them to change. How they are still going to call on radio every morning, they are talking about food relief program. And also they are talking about basic things that could have been done by their communication officers. They will still be there. They will still be talking on the radio, giving you information about Namibia Statistic Agency's people who are moving around your village. This thing was supposed to be communicated somewhere else, where a person was supposed to be focused on the real development and the real projects. Because... And until the point that we come to the aspect of saying, let us not turn regional councillors into communication officers. They must be leaders within their constituency running real projects. Yes, it's important to communicate government directives toward your people. But You know, I think it's something that we need to look into. With agency, actually, with agency. It needs to be looked at with agency because we are the product of our own making, our own thinking, and also what we tolerate also is also the reason we are here. We discuss about the problem. Problem is still there. And nothing that you are going to do. So, on that note, let us look at commercial break. Then we can come at home. Can come at home, especially dealing with the financial stability report, and also do a comparative analysis of maybe a financial stability report of April and also of October to see what have been some of the problems which are still persisting, especially within our financial system, and what are we doing about them. And yeah. And on that note, you can still engage us because this is a morning conversational program. You can still communicate with us at 083-288-401-083-288-401, because we are saying it could be that you are the person who have been on the ground. It could be that you are the person with deeper knowledge and also experience about the matter being discussed, and with your view and your opinion. Remember that you have a lot to teach others, because we cannot do it on our own. And with the African philosophy of saying, for you to move far, you need a team, or for you to move far, you need to go with others. That's why we are in a talk radio station, and this platform we allow conversation and constructive criticism. For us to teach each other, we must develop the culture of a healthy debate. Because if we are still at this juncture, at the point of debating with somebody for the sake of winning a debate, we have lost it. We still did not start discussing about real issues, because the aim of debating was supposed to solve a problem, was supposed to bring an alternative. And I think it's also a narrative which was supposed to change, to say, when we have this thing, even, to the young people, especially that time at primary school, where people are encouraging debate and debating competition, an educator must be able to say, okay, these are the skills that you are learning from a debate, but the aim of a debate is not, yes, is to win. You can be a very good debater in communicating your message across, in public speaking, in rebutting and all those things. But at the end of the day, we are training you to be a citizen who can communicate ideas professionally, who can convince somebody about a certain idea, and also contribute to policy making. And at the end of the day, the aim of a debate is to educate one another. You must also come up with a summary to say, no, this debate was concluded, but what have these students learned from here? What have we learned from this debate? But yeah, that is what we are discussing. And let us look at NRSC and continue with Early Morning Scoop.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka okwene ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and like we indicated today, we are looking at Namibia Financial Stability Report. And just to give you a background, is to say the Bank of Namibia or Reserve Bank has various committees and committees based on specific issues, but one of that is a committee which deal with financial prudence and also financial stability, testing the system to say where are we standing as a country, where are we standing, what are the things that we are doing well, what is the threat to Namibia, financial system. And I want you to take time and also read it yourself, especially the April Financial Stability Report, which, identifying there is something that is called idiosyncratic risk. And looking at the definition of that idiosyncratic risk, it's known to be a risk to specific individual, company, or asset, or industry, rather than entire market. And now these are the risks that are facing Namibia financial system. Now, one of that risk is that cyber risk. It stated that cyber risk elevated high. And there is high probability of materializing it during 2025. Now, before we go to cyber risk, before we just come to the aspect of cyber and the threat to the financial system, there is an aspect of AI which is fast growing. And I was looking at that video that the fake video that somebody mimicked the president and the spokesperson in something like Ponzi scheme or something. And I was just asking myself to say, no. Namibia, we are over creative to that extent that it's very difficult to identify and find out the truth and what is fake. If this thing of AI is already at that level of, mimic the voice of a president, mimic the face and the voice of somebody, how are we going to reach December? And what are the measures in place to make sure that we have an active team, even within the police, within other authorities also? Because these people are too ahead with their creativity. And you can easily get a lot of money illegally from that scheme, because people are so convinced. That's why the question we need to ask ourselves is that, do we understand the system that we are putting into our system. Do you understand, system that are assisting us to make our work effective? Do we understand the robots that we are bringing in? Are we able to control them in comparison to the way the whole population is? Because I was watching that video, I said, no. Guys, we are moving too fast. We are moving too fast, and those with power of authority, especially lawmaking, they must make sure that, we have dealt with that situation. Now, April 2025, Bank of Namibia stated that one of the idiosyncratic risks is cybersecurity to remain elevated high and the probability of materializing during 2025. Now, that was stated in the report of April. Now, cyber risk entails stealing of data, data manipulation, disruption of the system, ransomware, and many others. Now, the question is that what have been done between April and October 2025, not only to BON, but to other financial institutions and also to the government? What have been done to cater that for? Interestingly, between April 2025 and October 2025, few incidents happened. Number one, few incidents and events happened. Number one is there was a cybersecurity conference, which was really eye-opening to say. But within that week of cybersecurity conference, International Cybersecurity Conference in Namibia, in the same week that the system of Oshiwarongo Municipality was tested, was attacked by ransomware, data was stolen. And the interesting thing about the uninteresting thing to say, the infamous thing also to say about that is that when this institution are losing their data, there are no clear explanation, and it's also very difficult for somebody to admit how much of the data you have lost. And very difficult to trace also to say how much of this data that were lost or that were stolen were used to commit other crimes. Because if somebody stole all your banking details, if somebody stole all your banking details and your house address, your credit card numbers and all this, can be able to be manipulated and open doors, especially when you are moving toward the world of digitalization and digitalization e-financing. Because remember, like what we have stated today, especially when you look at the relationship between cybercrime, terrorism financing, and threats to human security, you can be able to say that when people are speaking about $260 million uncovered, which are linked to terrorism-related crime, and also linked to cyber, a crime, you must be able to understand that this one is not only a risk to financial institutions, but it's a risk to everybody. And the question has always been to say, what are we doing about it? Now, I want us to look at the other aspect. Is also this, there are some improvement, and it's quite a very diplomatic language. And I'm always, I don't know how they do it at the financial field, but there's one language of diplomacy which I'm failing to understand. And I find it very interesting. And it could also be that, they say a king must always remain calm, whether the kingdom is thriving or the kingdom is burning. Because I was observing, and I want you to also to do the same, and also look at any event, especially you look at the repo rate announcement, you look at any event, and I love attending you know, BON events and other events to say, no, the Namibia financial system is stable, is sound, and, you know, it can also withstand any pressure from external and internal and can be able to survive in a longer term. Now, looking at the Financial System Stability Committee, which is charged with the responsibility of testing the system, especially looking at the current report of 20th of October, some of the key risk of Namibia financial stability is stated that they remain unchanged. This one include public sector debt, payment and settlement system, including the cyber risk. It's also including the Namibia being grey listed. It's also including the risk of climate change, which are stated to be remaining low. However, these are still the challenges which were stated in April. Now, what are some of those other challenges which remain unchanged? The report stated very clearly to say direct direction of risk since April 2025, global economic slowdown, that one we spoke about it, that the economy of the world is going down, that one's still unchanged. We are going through trouble. Domestic economic slowdown, the economy of Namibia is still, slowing down. Is growing at a decreasing rate in comparison to 2024. That one is still unchanged. But there is also an underlying red line indicator to say the probability of materializing to the second half of 2025. That one is now global financial, troubles is very high. That one is on the red line. Inadequacy in international reserves. They are up. That is also another risk. This thing of international reserves, there is an aspect of saying you cannot put your eggs in one basket. You must always do business. And you must be able to understand that the way the financial system is operating is also that Bank of Namibia, on behalf of the government, is also in business to make sure that you invest outside the country. And you also have your international reserves that are assisting you in operation, particularly with international transactions. Now,
großartige Neuigkeiten. IMBA ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von IMBA freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was IMBA zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. IMBA, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia reminds all registered voters, November 26, 2025 is the day to cast your vote. Head to the polls and exercise your democratic right by voting. Your vote is your voice, so put your voice in the box to make sure it's heard. Vote on November 26, 2025.
The time is 1 minute by the hour of 7. We are moving toward 8 in the morning, especially, you know, where we are going to end with the conversation. However, we still have 1 hour to engage and have a conversation. And today we are speaking about Namibia financial system, to say the financial system which is holding us. How strong is it? Can we stand another shock? And yesterday I gave an example to say, if Namibia was a bus moving toward the destination called Vision 2030, at what speed are we moving at? Are we moving at 20 kilometers per hour? Are we moving at 1 kilometer per hour? Are we moving at 120? And what condition is that bus in? What condition? And also, do we have an experienced mechanic to assist us, or just an under the tree guy who can, instead of solving the problem, just killing the symptoms? And are we supporting the driver of the bus to reach the destination called Vision 2030? So, yeah, and today we are continuing with financial stability report, and this is just an evaluation of, to say, in overall, the whole Namibia financial system, how is it looking like? What are some of the challenges? And remember, without a very strong financial system, everybody can come and attack you. Either it's a cyber criminal, either it's a terrorist, either it's a money launderer, either it's, you lose a lot. You need to be very strong financially, especially with the financial system. That is very complicated. And these are things that I think have been not explained to people, to say, when you speak about Namibia financial system, you ask any student of economics at the high school level to say, well, what is Namibia financial system? What impact does, what is the meaning of the strength of a financial system? What are some of the challenges which are facing a financial system? Is it only the banks that were supposed to protect the Namibia financial system? Is it only the central bank, or any person has an opportunity to play in this part? Now, the question is also that also, now, when you look at this report, the question is also, communicating, and I understand, especially from the point of communication, and the example that we gave, to say, the king must always appear calm, whether the kingdom is burning or the kingdom is thriving. Because if you are communicating to say things are not well, it's going to be also a problem. But the question also we need to ask is that what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? I want you to get time and read the whole financial stability report, compare with the previous one, and connect it also to what was happening, particularly when you are asking questions, to say connect it also to the financial projection of Namibia and the presentation of the midterm national budget review. And also continue also asking questions to say, are these some of the risks that led to the shortfall in our revenue collections? Are these some of the risks that also led to the shortfalls in achieving the targets that we have put there? Are these also some of the risks that also led to unclear data, especially when it comes to full operationalization of our food security industry, such as our green schemes? Now, what remained unchanged? Most of the risk presented here are the risks that remain unchanged. Public debts increase unchanged. Excessive increase in household debts unchanged. corporate, excessive increase in corporate debts unchanged and is medium. Payment system risk, this one is unchanged or remain low. Settlement in the last window, unchanged. Then you come to non-banking financial institution, because this report is always handled between the regulator, especially with the banking institution, and also the regulator in non-banking institution, that is NAMFISA. Now, with non-banking institution, and I'm always giving this to say, when we speak about non-banking institution, especially to an ordinary Namibian, most of the people, although we discuss insurance, most of the Namibian people are connected to non-banking institution with micro lenders. The risks are still unchanged. There is a cyber risk unchanged, and this is red, which is high risk. It's red and it's high risk. Then somebody must also ask that question. Anti-money laundering, combating of financing, and terrorism of combating proliferation financing. Grey listing, unchanged. Crime at risk is medium and is unchanged. Now, my question is also this to say now, looking at the assessment, the risk assessment of Namibia financial stability, and maybe somebody should balance me quickly, especially those who are expert in finance. What led to the statement of saying Namibia financial system remain strong, remain resilient, and can withstand, external and also internal pressure, and safeguard the Namibian, finance? What have caused that? And also the question also of saying, who should be held accountable? Because this is one segment of saying, let us identify what are some of the risks. What is the reason of producing? Why can't we just say no? But I think it's also quite different to say no, we are not going to produce the report anymore, because most of the things, or 80% or 90% of the challenges of financial stability in October, are the same as the challenges of financial stability in April. But there are always differences. But the question is that now, are we just going to be identifier of problems? Are we just going to be diagnostic doctors, not the doctors who are curing the problems? And who should be held accountable when things are not going right? Who should be held accountable when things are not going right? Because looking at the prediction, and somebody with hope, when who predicted the Namibian economy in 2025 going to grow with above 4%, then there's also unchanged, and this indication to say no, that prediction was not right due to unforeseen circumstances. What strength do we have? What strength do we have as a country to control our financial system? At what level? Because researchers and economists here have done their job. But the question is now, what decision need to be done to make sure that this risk, which are continue to be unchanged, are addressed? There was a time I have asked one of the executives at CREN, and they were indicating to say, no, we're given, I think around 20,000 from the Ministry of ICT 2 years ago to invest in that cyber crime. Then I asked the question to say, how much of that 20 million was invested in research? They said, no, not none. yet. That was the answer. None yet. And now the question is, how are we going to fight cyber crimes if you don't invest in identifying of those problems and dealing with them? And how many cyber crime criminals were arrested in Namibia? How many of them? Do we know their headquarters? Do we know where they are operating from? What is the strength? And if we do not know, what are we doing about it? Because it's not right to say we must solve all our problems alone. Are we cooperating with others? Because when I look at the strategic plan of the MIRT and also other strategic plans, the thing of cybercrime is coming out. Could it be that when the curriculum is changed, could it be that when courses are being set, cybercrime or cybersecurity must be part of that? For those who are studying diplomacy, those who are studying international relations, it's a new threat. Can there be a module on that? Can we have expert in that? Because these are things which are drowning our economy without us knowing, without us understanding them. The question is also here to say, how are we going to deal with e-banking? Not really to say e-banking. How are we going to deal with financial technology if we are still saying the problem of cybercrime are still unchanged? There is no progress. In fact, there is no progress. There is no progress because there is no data. Yet, there is no clear data, clear monitoring of those who are infiltrating our system. We are on the defensive mode. And it's a risky thing. And it's good to be spoken out so that we can do something about it. And it's not a direct blame to anybody. It's a call to action to say, why can't we understand this thing? Why can't we understand this thing which is taking a lot from us, which is taking between 4 to 10 billion US dollars in Africa every year, which was recorded to that matter? Why can't we deal with this thing which is 95% of the crimes of cybersecurity are not reported? Why can't we deal with this thing? So it's a conversation, it's an open conversation. It's an open conversation. And we must be able to also engage all the stakeholders, because looking at this report is actually an externalization of what have been discussed 2 weeks ago, especially with the release of Global Economic Outlook of October, World Bank and IMF, also putting in line what was stated by the Minister of Finance. And yeah, so let's go to a commercial break and move forward.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshua ya. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore za timwe bali heali nola nasu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 18 minutes, but there are 7, and we are speaking about Namibia financial stability. We are analyzing the Namibia financial stability report by BON, that there are positive development to say things are still standing. We must come to the reality. We must come to the reality that must be able to come to the reality that when it's coming to the real GDP, when it's coming to Namibia, domestic economy, things are not well. And, if things were well, you may be able also to, I want to continue asking this question maybe until we get an answer to say what is happening on the other, green schemes. I was so interested to look at that. And I think, my colleague Loise Shimi will look into that. Especially, she's very interested in food security, and she has more experience in that area. So to us to say, I know what is happening at the other green schemes. Why do we only have three green scheme presented in Parliament? Are they producing, or we are still waiting for the statistic coming out? We wanted that so that we can see how can we help. Because remember, one thing that we must be very clear about is that the development of Namibia should not be a project. It should not be a project of just some one person or one sector. It should be a collective project. That's why with institution come and openly and also say, no guys, we are given this responsibility due to climate change or due to manpower we do not have. How can other people come in and assist you? How can young people who are not having anything to do within your region can come and assist you at your green scheme and you pay them? Because even if it produces one potato, we want to see that. Even if it produces one watermelon, we want to see that. And it's the only way that we are going to move forward. Now coming to this, fancy words and complicated, financial communication. Let us look at things that are within our control. Because the report itself indicated everything from a global perspective, and also the aspect of of external impact. Now, I want you to read at the conclusion, and this is a positive thing. And it's a positive thing that, and I've always been talking about this, because, and there is no country which can say our economy is not doing well, our financial system is weak, we have a lot of loopholes, I think we are going down. It's a positive thing. But for how long are you going to say this? And when are we going to come up with a point of say, okay, now the data are on our side? In conclusion, the report is indicating that following its assessment, the MOC concluded that the financial system of Namibia remains sound, stable, resilient, despite the prevailing macroeconomic condition. That is the most diplomatic thing I ever heard, and I'm always listening to. The current activity of macroprudential policy too, alongside with existing macroprudential measures and ongoing risk assessment, are considered sufficient for the current macro financial environment. To further strengthen the macroprudential policy framework, the MOC approved countercyclical loans to various regulations that would eventually replace the existing unjustifiable constant loan to various regulations. Apart from this continuous enhancement, and in simple terms, saying there's positivity in reviving, bringing back, maintaining, and also strengthening the Namibia financial system. Now let us look at things which are within our control. Slowdown of the economy, slow growth of the economy. What can we do about it? We have spoken and spoken about value addition. The question is that when are we going to start doing about that? The other thing is also that when you have data like this, what are we doing about this data? Why can't every institution take out this portion to say we are still grey listed? We are still grey listed by Financial Action Task Force. And we are still waiting May 2026 to see what the Financial Action Task Force is saying. And when you are grey listed, it's not only a list that you enter into. It's a risk which is coming with, it's a list which is coming with a risk. To say if you are grey listed, you are not able to man up. You are not able to put your house in order. And you are under critical observation from international institutions. Now, looking at this grey listing thing, and also looking at the observation from the domestic experts who are saying, you know, sometimes these grey listing things are just nothing. They are sometimes they are not honest. You know, it's external institutions. Yes, these are external institutions, but the question has always been to say, do you have data to prove that? Do we have the strength of data? Because the problem in Namibia that we have until now is the strength of data. We do not have strength of data. Because for you to know that you have 20,000 people within your constituency where 80% of these people need food or 90% of these people need education, you cannot just guess. You cannot just guess. You need data. What is your investment in data collection and also in the researching about those data? Because these are the data which are telling us, and the comparing the data with what's happening on the ground, it will able to give you a picture to say, why are you saying Namibians are living in poverty while we have beautiful houses here and there? Where? Go and look at the old Namibians. Now, the other thing that is within our control is education system. We can be very far in terms of international education. We can be very far in terms of international education, but we can do our best to change, amend our curriculums. We can do our best to change our curriculum to answer to the current needs. If the problem is cybersecurity, let our academia face that area. Not all of them. Let them be equipped in that area. I understand scholarships are being availed, but not only about the degree in cybersecurity, but also what are we going to do after that? If the problem is a slowdown of the economy due to diamond prices, let our investment go into that sector of value addition. What are we doing at the basic level of that? And the discussion of homegrown strategy should not die. I'm not seeing people saying about that. It should not die. And one of the counselors in the city of, I cannot remember who, I don't know if it's Professor Job or somebody, who was speaking about, you know, why do you have uniforms not being made in Namibia and all these things, to say, ask ourselves these questions, to say, who is making our uniform, just in general, to say our uniforms, either is companies, either is institutions, either is military and many others. But with military, we understand it's a different sector. But let us look at other areas. Who come with our uniforms? Let us look at school uniforms. Who is coming up with those school uniforms? You want to tell me that Namibians cannot produce their own school uniforms and supply to the schools? They cannot do that. Why can't that be a Namibian business? Honestly, that is a simple thing. Why can't that be a Namibian business, to say, okay, school uniforms from jersey, sheds, tracksuit, and all these things, even shoes, must be made by Namibians. Because what is the use of a homegrown strategy? Because the statement remained to say, whatever the world is going through, it will continue to go through it, but our problems will still remain. And also, we must also invest in practical projects. Look at it this way, Ne. When you look at events, how many of events in Africa, and also scaled down to Namibia, are about discussing a certain problems? Have you ever attended any meeting? Then you get so exhausted to say, this thing was already discussed, I think, in 2023, we had the same meeting, almost like this, same recommendation, and what changed is just the venue, and maybe the speakers. And I want these guys to tell me, how many Namibian entrepreneurs feel that they were over-mentored? Same content, same motivation, same discussion. But the problem is here to say, when are we going to move from real discussion to practicality? When are we going to move from that? Because if we don't do that, we are still going to say the Namibian financial system will continue to be resilient, strong, even when we are at 1% battery low. We are still going to say that. We are still going to because diplomacy should not be a problem. Diplomacy should also be backed by, because diplomacy is assisting people to become, and also to be also encouraged to contribute to that fight. But diplomacy without action, to say these things remain unchanged, how are we going to address young people's challenges? But yeah, let us look at the commercial break, then we look at what is happening at home, then we look at what's happening at home, we look at events, opportunities, and also what need to be done, especially when it's coming to Namibia domestic economy, and also moving forward. We understand it's almost end of the year, it's almost end of the year, and end of the year does not mean that end of your plans, because it's just crossing over to other months. Because in fact, nothing really have changed, because do not be scared when people are saying we are already in December, but that is a timing, and the timing matters on the ground that what are you going to do different And also, do not get stressed too much when you don't get anything when it's come to December. The fact that you have power and are healthy, and you are healthy, is also an achievement. And the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one talk radio station, is also an achievement. It could be that I once told one of my friends, no, you know, this thing of life competition should stop, because we may be going to the same destination, but we are not using the same means of transport. Because remember, if you are traveling from Windhoek to Vamborend, and you are driving a Tangi Botswana, then you cannot see me in your mirror. You cannot see me. You are already 100 kilometers to Okahanja, and you say, no, David is still in Windhoek. What if I'm waiting for a private jet? What if I'm waiting for a Porsche? Because by the time you are resting in Oshuarongo, I overtake you. And that is the nature of life. That's why this thing of competition should not be at the center of everybody. What if you are waiting for a private jet? What if you are polishing a Porsche while other people are saying they are in front of you? So we must guide on that aspect. So let us look at commercial break and move forward.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi tenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's economic development. And, when we spoke about monitoring and, evaluation, and also, accountability, I also want, and I always have a problem with, especially, people who like complaining without, go and also verify why they are complaining. You find a person saying, no, government is corrupt, the private sector is what. But the question is that, do you really have real information? Have you got time and ask those questions? Do you know that an ordinary citizen, you have a right to ask any public official any question for clarity, as long as you find a channel on asking that question. And no public official has a right to dodge your question or has a right to keep you waiting, because you have a right to go and ask your question, because it's not only the media. And I want you to trace development based on data. Let us trace Namibia development based on data and based on communication. When there is a plan and there is money, take your calculator and calculate to say, man, 2024-2025 national budget was at 100 billion Namibian dollars. This money was given here. This money was given here. More money was put here. Few money was put here. What is the impact this money has? How much money was lost here? And also, I want you to go and ask those who communicated, because there is communication of plans, and there is investment in that plan, and there is also a target in that plan. Because if you will be interested, if you go back 5 years, you look at the plans within the seventh administration, you look at the investment in those plans, then you look at where are they now? Are they completed projects? Are they elephant projects? Or are they completed, not just publicly communicated? There is a certain statement which was mentioned to say, in 5 years, that time of the late Ginkgo Mahiso, rest in peace, in 5 years, there will not be these Kambashus anymore. There was a strategy being placed. But where is what motivated that communication, and where is the strategy? What communicated that, and where is the strategy? If we cannot go back and ask, if we do not have strength to ask and say, when a government communicated to say 40% of phase one of Havana constituency hospital is completed. Or is it 40%? Yeah, it's completed. You are living in Havana. You want a hospital closer to you. Have you ever got just time and go and check at that hospital? And also ask your questions to say, man, what is the meaning of this statement? I'm here on the ground. What is the meaning of this statement? And what is the meaning of this 40%? Maybe somebody should clarify for me. Is there development? Yes, there are development. Is this 40%? Then you go and, get your clarification. Go and read the media, budget review statement again, and you ask a question to say, when, there is an indication to say some money were reallocated because, some SOEs were not performing, or somewhere on track, and somewhere overspending. Which SOEs are those? Because that is a diplomatic statement in numbers, because numbers were supposed to be just numbers. To say, no, 20% of SOEs are doing very well, 30% are doing very well, 40 are not doing well, that's why money was reallocated. Who are those SOEs? Are those SOEs within the national priority lines, and what can be done about that? Because if we don't do that, then we also have us to blame. So, no, people have just promising us development. Yes, but what did you do? You were also allowing yourself to be promised development that you were not going to hold accountable for. Because if you are not asking questions, people will still continue doing it the same. Maybe they forget, they focus on other priorities also. Because we have a lot of problems to go on. If we are too few to be poor, Namibia is striving to be self-sustaining in terms of food security. And there was a communication within parliament to say all these green schemes are about 100% operational. There was a communication there. And if you ask me a question, I can even tell you who said that. There was a communication there. All these green schemes are 100% operational. And when the reporting came in, three were reported. Somebody did not, even parliamentarian did not ask to say, what happened to other green schemes? Where are they? Are they producing one potato? We want to see that one potato. And what can we do about it? What investment was put there? Nobody is asking that question. But at the end of the day, we end up asking to say, no. They are promising us development. They are not doing it. But did we ask questions? Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes, David.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm well. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
The issue of cyber attack.
Yeah.
In terms of my biggest concern is when it comes to the monetary system. You know, the financial system has already been used as a weapon. And this is what prompt countries like the BRICS blocks. That is about time we look for ours.
Indeed.
And you know, most of the democratic countries, countries that are ruled under that systems, their monetary systems is connected to the Americans' financial systems. Once you happen to say, okay, let's go digital.
Yeah.
What will happen? So if countries are not worried by this, obviously then we don't know where we are.
Where we are going.
Yeah, we don't know. I understand China is having it, but China, they do it because they were actually afraid that their systems being infiltrated by the CIA. Yeah, because the Americans really wanted to destroy the communist parties of China. Because to them, it's a big threat. What they call an extortion threat to them. So that's why they did. And the difference here is that the central government of China is in charge of that.
It has power to control.
Yeah, and this is where my questions lie. That who is going to control it? Who is going to hold the data? You see, this is a problem. People in UK, in Britain,
yeah,
I think for 2 weeks now, out there demonstrating, said they are not going to accept the digital ID. If you follow them, then you understand what their fear is all about. Yeah, because if the money becomes digital here, next time, your bank is having everything. Your identity is in everything.
Yeah.
They have your data.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Then it's done. So it's only, so in this, the history already tells us that the monetary system has been used specifically by America unilaterally. They decide to them, if you don't obey the world-based order.
Yeah.
So people, the only thing maybe the world-based order just come now. When COVID-19 come, no, the world-based orders, it's a policy of the American foreign policies, or the West altogether collectively.
And people are mixing them with.
And it's embedded in that systems of democracy for as long as you are actually being, if you are under the system of democracy, then you are under the world-based order. Yeah. So that's why they use their money for you to be submissive or obedient. So now imagine if they are actually controlling your central bank.
Yeah.
And then they want you to do something and you don't want. What are they going to do? They just press that button.
Then you're out.
Then you're out.
But my fear of digital money also, is it not easy to lose them?
It is.
Yeah, because you can't hold anybody accountable.
You can't, because if they want to, yeah. If they don't want to pay you in the end of the day, they will just attack you with a cyber attack. Then the whole system is corrupt. And then once you lose those that were having money there, you cannot be paid because you don't have a record.
Yeah, because somebody, you are speaking like somebody was at the International Cybersecurity Conference to say, you know, some companies which are managing data, especially in Africa, they are not African companies.
Yeah, of course.
And now that is a problem. And when these guys, because you are, I'm giving you a contract to come and manage my data. But if that contract ended, what shows that you are not going with my data?
Of course, yeah.
And you are not going to use them against me. Because sometimes business can end, we are not liking each other, we are not agreeing on certain things.
Yeah.
But what shows that? Because you are managing my data because I do not know them. I don't know how to manage. But yeah, I think it's a good point to explore.
I understand when the president went. I will not forget when the president went to the General Assembly and said we need the reforms when it comes to monetary system. I think she was actually referring to that, and I somehow put in that context with that being said to her. I think she really understand the dangers of transitioning from hard cash money and then digital. This is the problem. But it will be good for us if we are controlling this, if we are keeping the data and everything, and we are not connected anywhere else. That will be fine. When you have your central bank connected to the Central Bank of America or whatever, they are, this is dangerous.
Now, how are we going to deal with that? Because remember, there is a recent report of Interpol. This one I was indicating to say, no, these guys, especially the cyber criminals, they are also connected to terrorism and also other Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
And there's $260 million which was uncovered, and this one is in cash now. But my
uncovered.
Uncovered. Yeah. And there is countries which are involved in this activity include authorities from Angola, Namibia, Nigeria, South Sudan, Cameroon, and Kenya. And you are just scared because terrorism financing is a very dangerous thing, and it's here also in Southern Africa.
Yeah, and that one is it's embedded mostly in these NGO things.
Okay.
That is where all those activities happen. Yeah.
They are not checked.
These digital things. There was a caller who said, I don't know whether it was in your program or the other program, who said, I don't know why are we running too much on 130 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
While we know that we cannot sustain that speed.
No, we are. Are we driving a wagon? What? Are we driving what? Are we driving a donkey cart at 120?
Yeah. You can't sustain that speed. So we better stay. But the other problem is that you cannot say you stay where you are because the system dictates.
Yeah, but movement is good, but not leave a lot of people behind.
Yeah, you see, like this one, say, when you are saying you are going to digitalize the money, that means you have 70 or 50% of people who are not connected to internet and electricity. But how are you going to do that?
Are these people not going to be again exploited by the new system again, like they are already suffering with not access to finance, like general finance?
They are.
Because when you are at the end, all the problems are just coming to you.
Of course, you are. There's no question there.
Yeah.
But me, I just don't understand this thing of saying apparently the systems of digitalizing is to give access, is to give financial access to each and everybody. They rather say is to exploit each and everybody.
I want
or manipulate. Or, I think those are the words that are suitable to be used in that way.
Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to find out who get to decide the repo rate.
No, there is a committee within Central Bank, and I think it's a consultative. There is a governor. There are also official from Minister of Finance. It's a committee. It's only, I don't have the name really, but it's a committee given that responsibility to do an assessment and also decide. They are looking at all those factors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because the other thing, my other concern is that it seems as if the bank have got more power upon us, even though they are only managing our money, it's not their money. They come here as businesses and then they set up everything without any other law to prevent them and say, no, you cannot do that. Have you seen the fee that they're charging us when you withdraw money and so? It's absurd.
Look at profit also they are making, and there's one person asked to say, when commercial banks are making profit, how many of these invested in Namibia, because who owned them and all these things? But it's a question into expansion can go to aspect of ownership and also be creative enough with the financial system, because if you are telling people to say, I want to start a bank in Namibia, you as a black person, how many obstacles are we going to find in a way? How many people had that? Did you know that there is license for starting a bank, a black bank? If I have to put it that way, if I'm not being racist to say.
I don't know. I only know that you must have $250 million in cash for you to set up that thing.
But do you think there are
then
people...
What are the other requirements? Our actually is going through it.
Yeah.
I just forgot the other requirements.
Hmm.
There are so many sophisticated requirements that you need to have in order for you to set up the thing.
But that is a sustainable business that can solve a lot of people. That can solve a lot of problems, especially domestically, particularly if you own it.
Yeah, it can be, but hey.
But not one. Why do you want to do it yourself? Why do you want to do it yourself if you can collaborate with others? There are a lot of people in Namibia with money.
Of course.
Yeah.
But why are they not doing it? That's the question.
I think it's a question that everybody should answer.
Are they not doing it? That is the question.
Yeah. But thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
right.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you for your contribution. We always value engagement and also critical and constructive criticism, because if you are not asking ourselves difficult questions, there is no way we are going to find answers to complicated problems. Because there's one question, I'm not going to mention it on air, which I asked my mom one day, I think I was in grade 2. Then she said, you are going to be beaten by a very big hammer from somewhere. Don't ask me that question again. My concern here is just with people who are asking critical questions, especially you find very creative young kids that can ask you a question that you don't even want to give an answer. But in the current situation that we are, we need to sit down and also ask the problem to say, man, why led of the brave we are like this and this? Any general question, but let us go critical also and ask questions to go deep and say, no, why our things are not moving despite the efforts, despite the speech, despite the meetings, despite the youth meetings with leaders? Why our things are not moving despite the panel of experts, despite the high level, despite advisors and many other things which were done? Why our things are, why are we stuck? Why are we stuck at this point? Why after 35 years with our good intention, our good plans, our good leaders actually, but things are not moving? Where is that gap? We can only ask ourselves critical questions. You know, like the caller who called, I always respect, especially when you're asking difficult questions that people do not want to ask, not really because they do not know, because they do not know how to frame it and also ask that question to say, where is the main problem? Because the thing is about how can we get the majority of the people move and also benefit from Namibian resources and also participate in the economy, not only as social grants. Do you know that if the government cut social grant for 2 months, do you know the chaos that is going to be in Namibia? Just 2 months. Social grants, you say no, no social grants. But other countries do not have it. No social grants in these 2 months. Just 2 months. It's going to be very chaotic. Because when you are running the economy on social welfare, it's an economy on life support. Because you already told the economy is going down and you are forced to cut. When the economy is going down, you are forced to cut and prioritize. But what can we do about that? Most of the elders, most of the pensioners are the ones who are holding our households. And you have a PhD candidate or a master's candidate who does not, although trying, does not really coming to the mainstream system. Not really because the person is not creative. But just how things are, how stuck things are. But we are not saying there is no progress. We are saying at what pace. If you are speeding at 120, what engine do we have? Do we have enough fuel if we are driving at 120? How many people are we carrying? Do we have a mechanic that is monitoring and evaluation? Do we have a strong mechanic who can come and also assist us? Are you able to maintain that speed at 120 kilometers per hour or at 200? And we are not saying it on the road. We are saying in terms of developmental priorities and also in terms of what we want, because we love new things, but can we maintain them? But yeah, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation. It's 58 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are going to give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. I'm going to transfer the mic to the big mic so that the big mic can unpack the day. But before that, it's important to make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us at our social media platform so that you will not miss out these conversations. You will not miss out when it's coming to developmental affairs. And also, you can subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Send your name and save this number as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-200-4144, 081-200-4144. And with that, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around next time, same place. And yeah.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.